week, we left you off with first and second down. It was a great show. Now we're bringing to you third and fourth down. But before that, you know, we now on our tab in our website have a option for donations. We've heard all of the comments. We've got some requests for merchandise, and we definitely want to bring you guys a quality show. Donate, please help us get you the show that you want. And you know, help us get you the program that you want and all of the features that you want and the merchandise that you want and support coverage.
Yeah. Season. Again, like Ali said, this show is nothing without you guys. The fans, football is a community. It's a great game. It's a sport, but without the fans to support it and show the love that they do, it's never going to be the same. And we want to give you guys the opportunity to have a show where you guys can comment, subscribe, and feel free to express your opinions about the league, teams, and anything about football. So, again, please go to the page and donate whatever you can. Any little thing helps, and we appreciate it. So, let's get into third down, Ali. Last week, we had a lot to cover between first and second, so let's pick it up with third down. Break it down for us, brother.
Yeah, we definitely got a lot to talk about. But first and foremost, last week, I got to talking about something missing from the Chargers.
Oh, we know what that was.
I said that, you know, they were missing an element to their offense, and teams were starting to figure things out with Austin Eckler, and you know, he hasn't really been a factor in the running game, and boom, out of nowhere, Melvin Gordon is back. You know, I saw the Instagram video from Keenan Allen, and he's back, and they really needed him back. Their defense has been on the field a lot. And statistically, they're not, you know, too bad or anything like that, but they've been on the field a lot. And that hurts a team when your defense is on the field that much, you know? So bringing Melvin Gordon back in there, he's going to help them in the run game. He's going to help them in underneath passing and blocking and things like that. He's going to be able to help them keep the offense on the field a whole lot longer. Questions, is he in shape? You know, that's bringing him back.
To be honest, with him coming back at this time, last year they were really worried about his loads. You know, him being older, you know, coming almost at the end portion of his prime, were the loads too much? So I think these couple of games off gave him that extra opportunity to rest, and now be going into the season. And we're going to see him play Sunday. I believe they ruled him ineligible to play. But with going forward, he's only going to be in 12 games, which gives him a greater lifespan for the team. Now, put him together with Austin Eckler, and you have I've been saying this all season, the dual running back combo is coming back. And I think that San Diego is going to show us what they got.
I definitely think that his return helps Austin Eckler, because now there's not too much pressure on Austin Eckler. Now, you know, you don't know what he's going to do. You can have Melvin Gordon run on first and second down, and when you bring in Austin Eckler in third down, now the defense can be a little bit, you know, honest more. You know, now you don't know if he's going to run. You don't know if he's going to, you know, catch a wheel route, a screen pass. Now, you know, it keeps you on your toes a little bit as a defense. So I think bringing Melvin Gordon back into the fold, not only that, it's going to help the receiver. Keenan Allen has been killing it without Melvin Gordon. He's going to be only better. Guys like him, Mike Williams, and the tight ends, they're going to be better once Melvin Gordon gets back. And Phillip Rivers, you know, he's still around. He's still throwing the football. It's going to help him, too. It's going to help him stay a little bit cleaner in the pocket with Melvin Gordon back there. So I think it's definitely a great addition for the team to have. Now, the biggest concern I have, like I said earlier, is just, is he in shape, and is he, you know, what does the injury risk look like for him? I think that, You need to keep him fresh, like you said. But do not overwork him. You got to just manage him right, because if you overwork him and he's out of shape, boom, you can get hurt. If you want to be a contender, you want to be in the playoffs, you want to be, playing in December and January, then you need to make sure that you manage him right. Because I think as a team, they have a chance. If the defense can continue to, improve each week and the offense excels, I think they have a chance to compete with some of the top dogs in their conference. So, and they're in the tough division, man. I know Oakland and Denver aren't really doing much right now, but, anything can happen. The tide can turn at any point.
Hot garbage.
So, they need to stay on their toe.
The Broncos are hot garbage right now.
I don't know what's going on in Denver. This is off topic, but Von Miller got to go.
He needs to go someplace where they can go and compete for a better team. Yep, you're right. You're absolutely right.
He needs to go play for a better team. He needs to get out of Denver. Let him go, John Elway. Let Von Miller go. He got to get out of there.
Yeah.
Like
you said, completely off topic, but he got to go. John Elway, I don't know what the hell you're doing over there in Denver. The best thing that ever happened out there was when you played and when Peyton won the Super Bowl. That was an incredible pickup, picking up a veteran quarterback that you knew was going to do the job that needed to be done. You picked up Joe Flacco. Yeah, he's a veteran quarterback. We expected him to do better, but terrible. Not looking good at all. They need to pick it up.
Yeah, they definitely do. But speaking about Melvin Gordon and players coming back or players moving and things like that, Jalen Ramsey still wants out. I saw earlier that he said that once both sides lose respect for each other, there's nothing else left. So to me, that means I don't think this relationship is gonna work anymore. I think that Jalen Ramsey wants out. I think Tom Coughlin and those guys in the executive suite, they need to, I think they need to lower what they're looking for Ramsey. I know they're asking for a whole farm, but in reality, who's going to give you that? I don't see a team desperate enough. You look at teams like the Chiefs that could really use him.
The Chiefs could use him. The Redskins could use him.
There are a couple of teams that could really use him. This is a situation where you can see the Patriots come out of nowhere, swing and get him. And, then now they have the best corner duo in the world.
Yep, between him and Devin McCourty.
And Stephon Gilmore. I mean, they have options for teams that can definitely use him. I think that you maximize what you can get in return when you can get it. Because in this situation, as the Jaguars, from the Jaguars' perspective, you don't want to wait too long. You don't want to wait too long to a point where you don't get nothing or you get too little. You know he wants out. You know teams are going to want to get him. Get the best deal and get him out of there. Like, you can get a great haul. You're asking for 3 first round picks and 2 good players.
That's absurd. I don't care what anybody says.
Get something smart.
That is utterly absurd. Jalen Ramsey is definitely not worth 3 first round picks. I'm sorry.
Get something.
You need something.
I mean, make a smart deal.
Equally equitable. Something that if you want to offload him for the right price, I can understand a first round pick and maybe a second round pick, or maybe 2 first round picks. If you do a first and a second round pick, you also have to compensate with a player as well. So if you do the 2 first round picks, maybe 1 next year and possibly a contingent for the year afterwards, that works.
Khalil Mack is the best defensive player in the world.
And they let him go for what?
He didn't get 3 first round picks in return.
Exactly.
He's the best defensive player in the world and didn't get a king's ransom like that.
No.
So you look at a team like the Jaguars, what do you want? You know, what do you expect to get?
To be honest,
to me, I just think that they need to make a smart deal.
To be honest, I don't think any defensive player is worth 3 first-round picks. Unless you are, you know, Reggie White-esque in the way that you're playing, there's no way in hell.
You tripping.
No way in hell. What you mean?
Khalil Mack is worth every penny.
No. I'm not saying that.
His name wrong, too, because I saw on Monday Night Football, his name is Khalil. Mack. Okay.
But Khalil Mack.
Khalil Mack is worth every penny in the NFL.
Three first round picks?
He is the only player worth all of that.
To be honest, I don't care what you say. 3 first round picks is agreed for any best, player. 3 first round picks is agreed for anyone. Player. Unless you're getting an offensive player. An offensive player is definitely worth 3 first round picks if they're producing and what they're doing.
I'll take Khalil Mack over any offensive player you'll give me
Over Pat Mahomes? NFL. Over Pat Mahomes? You're bugging
Did you see what he did to that defense last year?
And what about
Did you see what he did to that Chicago Bears defense last year?
Yes, he made took it better, a but it bottom still wasn't, feeder not team. Three, not three
he
first
took
round
a
picks.
Bottom feeder team
I'm sorry.
And turned them into picks, an elite defense.
You have to think about it. 3 first round picks, whether it's now.
He took a bottom feeder defensive team and turned them into the number one scoring defense in the NFL. Did you know about anybody on the Chicago Bears defense?
Chicago was irrelevant until he went over there. Their defense
Exactly.
was really irrelevant until they went
exactly.
there.
But at the exactly. same time, you also can have find to look. You can find you a decent quarterback. He has compared to Patrick Mahomes, he has Mitchell Trubisky on the other side, and they won 12 games last year. So you don't need to get Patrick Mahomes' money to the offensive player. You can give that to a defensive player like Khalil Mack, and he will change
the whole team.
We're
not even talking about money. I'm talking about the value of the position and the player.
He deserves all the value.
Okay.
He deserves all of the value.
He is valuable. You can say that he definitely deserves the Aaron Donald money, that, you know, 150.
He deserves more than Aaron Donald. He deserves.
He is the best defensive player. 3 first round picks. You have to think about it. 3 first round picks is 3 years worth of potential future players that could also.
And he will recoup that value.
In those 3 years, you will recoup. You will recoup value, but you also have to look at the possibility of injuries. Now, 3 first-round
picks. This is year one. This is look. They gave away their first-round pick for this year. They didn't have a first-round pick this year. And look at the team now. They're still dominating on defense. So this is already year one. This is year one that he's recouping. You don't think that he's going to be a monster the next 2 years?
No, I agree that he could be a monster in the next 2 years, but
it's not worth three first round picks.
Because Mitch Trubisky is doing all right right now in year 1. Let's see what happens in year 2 and year 3, and then you're gonna be like, maybe we need a quarterback. Their running game ain't
Mitchell
all that.
Trubisky's not playing well right now. They're still playing good as a team.
They're playing good defensively.
Offensively, they just torched the Redskins on Monday night.
Come on, man. That's not even competition. You talk about the Redskins. The Redskins?
Torched them.
They deserve to get torched. The Redskins are trash. They're trash right now.
Khalil Mack is worth 3 first-round picks. There's no other player in the NFL right now that's worth that. Aaron Donald will probably come close. I know Jalen Ramsey thinks he's the best cornerback. He might be second. He's probably third, in my opinion. I already said a few episodes ago, I thought Aqib Talib shuts people down. He's been doing it for almost 10 years consistently.
Yeah, Super Bowl rings.
Super Bowl rings. He's been doing it consistently.
you also have to think about the equity and the value of the player. If you, if we all know that he is the number one defensive player in the league, we could agree on that, right?
Khalil?
Yeah, Khalil Mack is the number one defensive player
in
the league.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Okay. Without a doubt. Now, over the period in his next contract, how much you think you're going to pay him? About $200 million, am I correct?
I mean, this ain't
that. Somewhere, right? Somewhere.
This ain't the NBA.
Right?
I mean, they
I mean, might, yeah, okay. Somewhere between 150.
He might get 100. He might get 120, 130.
He's definitely getting more than 100. He's definitely getting more than 100, 120.
He might get 120, 130.
I'm thinking 150-ish for his caliber player. Now, if you give up three first-round picks and say all three of those first-round picks were generational talent, you're talking about.
We don't know that. We don't know that.
You absolutely
We don't
right.
know that. You're I have to take what right. I know is but good now. I have to take what I know is good now. I have to find the best deal
what
for
you
now.
Have now you also
I can't
have
wait
help
on
your,
the future. If I'm the general manager, I can't wait on the future. I'm doing my job for today. I have to think of the future at some point. But right now, I'm thinking about my team winning now. And I have a chance to get the best defensive player in the world. I'm doing everything that I can to get him because I know what he can do now. I don't know what those three draft picks are going to be.
Well,
I'm bringing him to a team that now in my last year draft, I got a generational middle linebacker. Not only did I just get this generational linebacker and Roquan Smith, now I have Khalil Mack with him. It's worth giving away three picks because I already have two pieces that I know are generational in terms of their talent and what they bring. Roquan Smith, oh my God, don't even get me started on how amazing he is.
We already know how amazing he is, but that's luck in the basket. If the Bears weren't in the position that they were the year before and they go down even lower, do they even get Roquan Smith?
It does, but that's in the past.
It's in the past, but that's my point, though, as I'm worrying about now. Yeah,
but
you're
that's my point about worrying
but
about
guess
now.
What? With the worrying about now, what you do now also affects your future in this season and also next season. You give away three first round picks. Now, what players do you have to support your offense and put around your generational talent?
You want
to
know the beauty of it? The beauty of it is the NFL teams aren't built in the first round. Some of these superstars now are coming from the fourth, fifth, sixth rounds. Undrafted guys.
Most of the league last year was undrafted.
Most of the NFL last year was almost undrafted.
There's no guarantee in the first round. That proves that first round picks, whether you think that they're more valuable or undervalued, why would you give away three first round picks for a generational talent if you're picking up these type of players later in the later rounds?
With Khalil Mack and I have Roquan Smith, I already have a foundation. I don't need to go in the first round to get good pieces. Now I need glue guys to fit with these dudes. That's what I need now. So, yes, the third, the fourth, the fifth, those back-end rounds are a little bit more valuable to me now because I can go and get glue guys, under-the-radar guys who I can get for the cheap that can complement my guys to the best of their abilities. That's why if I send away three first-round picks for a generational talent like him, I'm okay with it. But for a guy like Jalen Ramsey, no. Got to find the best deal for me. You already have, for the Jaguar situation, you already have Miles Jack. You have Josh Allen that you just drafted. You still could possibly get maybe two more years from Calais Campbell. You have A.J. Bouye on the other side. So if a guy like Jalen Ramsey wants out, to me as a GM, I want to get the best deal that I can get. So I'm not going to try to get a king's ransom for a guy who doesn't deserve it. He might think he's the best cornerback.
You're absolutely right.
He might think he's the best cornerback. Right. But when you looking at the list, when you looking at the stats, he's not better than Stephon Gilmore. He's not better than Aqib Talib.
Statistically. statistically,
he's not right better now, he's at not better all. He's not better than those guys. Those are the top two guys. Those are the top dogs. He's not better than him. I'm not even putting him better than peak Richard Sherman. Richard Sherman was a dog in Seattle. I'm not even putting him there yet.
We can't compare history. We can't compare history.
That's just facts. That's just facts. Jalen Ramsey isn't where Richard Sherman is. We're talking about this season. This season, he's still not there.
Richard Sherman had a better. Richard Sherman had a way better defense.
Richard Sherman was a lockdown corner.
No.
Richard Sherman was a lockdown corner.
For one whole season, Richard Sherman did nothing. Not one interception. Please, we already know that Richard Sherman was a lockdown corner. Let's not get into that because that defense was supreme. Supreme. The Bennett's, and with that defensive line, that was the number one defense in football for almost 3 years straight. You can't even deny that.
And you trying to tell me that Richard Sherman had nothing to do with it?
No. I'm not saying he had nothing to do with it.
He locked out Michael Crabtree.
He was able to be able to do that.
Do I need to remind you of Michael Crabtree?
When that defense got disassembled, what happened?
Do I need to remind you of the Super Bowl?
No.
Do I need to remind you of what he did to Peyton Manning and them? He had Demaryius Thomas on seat belts
in the league. He still had the number one defense in the league. You still got to go out and do your
job. You still have to go out and do your job.
Okay, so what happened to him when the defense was disassembled? What happened then?
He didn't have quality plays. You can't expect him to do everything by himself.
It don't matter. You still got to go out and do your job.
If you have no pass rush, you have no guys covering on the other side. You can't expect him to do everything on his own. When a player has depleted players around him, you can't expect him to do everything. But for the better part of five years, I'm not putting Jalen Ramsey over Richard Sherman ever.
This is the reason that this can't even equivocate because you're comparing two different defenses. One defense that is on the come up and one that was solidified for 4 years straight and went to a Super Bowl.
They were just in the championship game 2 seasons ago. They just had the Jaguars had the number one defense 2 seasons ago. They had the number one defense two seasons ago. They were ass last year.
And who was the number one corner 2 years ago?
They were ass last year.
Who was the number one corner 2 years ago last year?
They were not good. Jalen Ramsey got thrown all over last season. They were not good.
Miles Jack with him. So, like I said, it also depends on the players around. So if you're giving up three first round picks, do you think that helps your defense or destroys your defense?
Not for a guy like Jalen Ramsey.
Period. 3 first rounds. Period is egregious for any defensive player. But let's get on to the next topic.
Yeah, because we wasted time, but we got to talk about the coaches on the hot seat. The Grudens, it might be a sad Thanksgiving for the Grudens. Jay Gruden, he's been there too long in Washington.
He hasn't done much.
It's time. I thought that Dwayne Haskins should have started with the second game of the season against the Cowboys. I think I had said that, you know, I thought they were going to get rattled and, you know, Dwayne Haskins was going to come in the second half, but Case Keenum actually
played. You think he should start this week?
Oh, yes, of course.
You think he should start this week?
Of course. He should have played last game, but second half.
If I'm the Redskins organization, they start him this week. The numbers inside the stadiums will go through the roof. Rookie versus rookie would be the greatest showdown.
Everyone wanted the Giants to take Dwayne Haskins, and they did, and they took Daniel Jones. Everyone thought it was a mistake. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a good battle for the future. But they should have started. They should have started Dwayne Haskins last week.
I know Gruden talking about he wants to give a Case Keenum some more time to develop with the
team.
There's nothing to develop. His performance was trash. Let's go on his basis off the last two games. Horrible. Next. Let's put the next guy in. We drafted him for a reason. We didn't waste a first-round pick for no reason. Let's put him in. Whether he does well or not, at least he's getting that game experience. This is the guy that we believe our future, the organization's future lies in. Let's put him in now.
The one good thing Gruden has done all season, was not start
him. Landon Collins.
No, was not start him in the second half. He would have got killed by the Bears if they started him.
Oh, no. First of all,
he has no mobility.
It wasn't even a question.
And with that pass rush.
You can't even do that.
With that pass rush.
That would have been the dumbest movie ever done.
With that pass rush, they would have defeated Dwayne Haskins. That's the smartest thing he did all season was not start him. They're going against the Giants. Okay. The Giants' defense is not good at all. They're mediocre. He has a chance. He can sustain in the pocket against the Giants. I don't think he's really going to get a pass rush from the Giants. I mean, even though I think they've had 4 sacks the last 2 games. So 8 total. I think, they might get to the quarterback, but he has a chance to evade them. He wasn't going to evade the Bears last week. He's not that mobile of a quarterback.
No, however, not at all. And as well, you're absolutely right about not starting him because, one, putting him in the middle of a game where you guys are doing terrible anyway and expecting him to do anything is trash. I could understand if it was, a complete blowout where it was like 45 to like nothing, you put in a third screen quarterback. You don't put in the guy that you just drafted to make him look that terrible. That's wrong. You want to put him in so he can get his own legs under him. You don't want to put him in the comeback game and throw him under the bus. That's disrespectful. We want to put him in a situation where he can go in, be his own person, and start the game the way that he should start the game. Whether he ends up having a good game or not, you shouldn't throw him against the Bears defense in the middle of a game. That's egregious. That's a crime. And I agree with you on that.
I think that this is the perfect week. He has a good arm, so. I think that, to get the receivers really going, I think they need to put him in. I think if Gruden loses this game Monday, he's gone.
I don't know about Monday, but I think if
he's gone,
I think definitely this after this season, he's
no,
definitely gone.
Yeah, I don't he's think he's gonna. I said it a few weeks ago that I didn't think he had a whole arm in the organization, and that was real. I think after this game, he's done. It's who's next? Who's the guy that you're gonna find? To replace him. I mean, he's not the only person. You also look at a guy like Mike Vrabel in Tennessee. They were in the playoffs last year, but Mariota's been horrible this year. The play calls have been terrible.
The offensive line is trash.
The play calls have not been good either. The play calls from Tennessee have been terrible. And they're doing that defense bad because they have a pretty good defense, but they're on the field too long.
The only plays that have been working for them, shockingly, are those swing passes to Derrick Henry to go down the sideline. To be honest, they have not been doing much offensively, and they're not protecting Marcus Mariota. Marcus Mariota came from Oregon. You're talking about a RPO offense that thrived. There are so many teams running RPOs. Why is it that your offense, who has some key players, can't run the RPO? And let's not forget, y'all got Dion from the Patriots. Y'all barely using him, and he's an effective back. You could even put him in the slot receiver and use him that way, but you guys choose not to. You want to interchange between him and Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry is a built machine back. He can only go up and down. He's not a juker. He's not none of that finesse. Guy. He's just a body, a huge body at that, like almost Eddie Lacy, but without the juking. He's huge. He's built. He can go up and down, but he's not the guy that's going to be elusive like Deion is.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that clearly losing Matt LaFleur, who is now the head coach of the Packers, I think clearly losing him affected their offense. I just think that they're not getting their receivers involved. Corey Davis looks like a bum. They drafted A.J. Brown, who's actually their quote-unquote number one receiver right now, if you look at it statistically. But, I mean, you have the weapons, and they're not using them. They're not being effective. And another coach who I actually think on a hot seat is another player, is another coach who's playing this Sunday against Jay Gruden, is Pat Shurmur. The offense hasn't really been – flowing well with him. And, I know there were questions about, it was Eli, and they plugged in Daniel Jones last week, and they had a wonderful game. But in reality, Pat Shurmur, as an overall coach, his record is not that great. It remains to be seen what is his true identity as a head coach. I think that, I know he has a defensive coordinator, but I think that you still, as a coach, have your defense has to resemble some side of you. And I think Pat Shurmur, his seat might not be as hot as Jay Gruden and Mike Vrabel. Not. But, I think that he definitely, needs to step it up as a coach. I think he needs to win more games. You're almost there now. If you win Sunday against the Redskins, you're at 2-2. You're almost halfway from your win total from last year. So, I don't think your seat is as hot as the other guys. I think Dave Gettleman and upper management believe in him, but I think he's got to get it together as a head coach.
Oh, no, for sure. I think, he does have to get it together. I don't think he's as hot as you think he is, because remember, Pat Shurmur came in to a debacle. You remember when he took over for what was the coach's
name? Bob McAdoo.
Ben McAdoo.
Ben McAdoo.
He might as well call him Bob because the mustache and the hair. That's all you can remember about him. So Ben McAdoo had a team that was straight garbage. Coming off a year that was straight garbage. The offensive line was trash. You still had Flowers starting in the offensive line. Olivier Vernon couldn't even stay healthy. Eli Apple was garbage. He's coming into an organization that was collapsing on itself. Now, you come in, you make some equitable moves. You get rid of Eli Apple. You trade Olivier Vernon. you bench Flowers. You also get rid of Odell Beckham, your number one player. Now he's dealing with a team that's half built. Half. They draft Saquon Barkley, which is a great, great generational player. But he's not here this weekend. He's nowhere. He's not going to be part of the offense. Now you have the backup in Wayne Gallman, who we know already can produce, but we haven't seen him in the starting role, the production in the starting role. So we're going to have to see how that works. But with Pat Shurmur, he's now getting the pieces that he needs as far as fulfilling some of those holes on defense. But guess what? Again, this week defensively, they're missing Trey Davis. They're also missing Alec Ogletree. So every single time that we think Pat Shurmur is going to be able to do something, something else happens, and we're going to have to see how he picks it up this week. Offensively and defensively with those missing pieces.
Yeah, I mean, last week they held the Bucks to 3 points last week in the second half after a crazy first half. They got better. I think that the guys are young on defense. They're young guys that they have. So I think that as they progress and get more comfortable and adjust to the NFL speed, they're going to be a little bit better. They're going to play better. They're going to be able to play faster, and they're going to have a good handle on the playbook. So I think that as time goes on, their defense will definitely progress. But I think overall, though, as a team, they definitely need to show improvement. Because if there's no improvement from last year, why keep the same thing going? Why keep the same coach if you're getting in better players? So, I think that definitely is something that, should be addressed. But, I would like to say popular coach that I have on my list of hot seat guys is the head coach of the Falcons, Dan Quinn. You know, I know they went to the Super Bowl.
They look terrible right now.
I know they went to the Super Bowl a few seasons ago, but they just haven't been the same. Now, Julio Jones is on another level right now. We don't talk much about Julio Jones.
He's balling right now. He's balling right now.
He's just such an under-the-radar baller. You know, under-the-radar
baller. He's got the most TDs right now.
That's what I like, you know.
He's got the most receiving TDs.
He's just phenomenal, and he's been playing well. But the team as a whole is lacking something. And the injuries just keep coming and coming for their defense. You know, those guys are getting hurt year after year. It's, you know, destroying them. But I think Dan Quinn got to get it together. You know, he's a very good defensive-minded coach. You know, he has good pieces. Matt Ryan has been consistently a solid professional quarterback for 10-plus years almost now. And he's been, you know, he's just, you know, been phenomenal. And, you know, he has Julio. He has Ridley. Sanu, who I think is another under-the-radar baller. So, you know, I think that, you know, they definitely got to get these pieces going. The NFC South is open right now. There's no Drew Brees.
Oh, yeah, especially
there's
with all
no
the
Cam Newton.
And the lack of quarterbacks.
Yep. You know, you have Jameis Winston garbage in Tampa Bay. Straight yep. garbage. So, you know, the it's
Wait. Let's reiterate. Let's say that one more time. Jameis Winston is garbage, but he only does one thing right. And what is that? What is that? Give the ball to Mike Evans.
Garbage.
Next.
They garbage. So they have a chance. They have a chance to make it. They have a chance to pull it together. It's only week four. So, you know, you have a chance as a team to get something going, some type of rhythm. But I think that, you know, for Dan Quinn, they got to get it together fast, you know, or else it's going to be a long, long season for them. And, you know, okay. I definitely think that he has to get it together.
I agree that Dan Quinn needs to get it together. But in all honesty, I had a different pick for I had Cliff Kingsbury because – let's look at this. You're bringing a guy with no proven track record in the NFL, right? Okay, he's an offensive guru coming from Texas Tech and whatnot, bringing in some, you know, making the players that have come into the draft as top players. So you use your first round quarterback and you trade him away to get the quarterback that you wanted. Now, what? Offensively, the offensive line is still garbage. Your top receiver is 15 years in the league. Now, that's nothing against Larry Fitz. It took him till last year to pair him up with another receiver in Christian Kirk. Now, you know, the rookie has been doing great. But right now, they're on track for the same record as they were last year. The only difference is that this year, they really didn't have a win or a loss with that tie. They look like they're on record to go 3-13 again. They have a lot to do, a lot to pick up on. They have to turn it around immediately because they were so convinced that, you know, Kyler Murray is the guy, and that the offense was the guy. Let's not get it twisted. Kyler Murray is the guy. He's got the arm. He can make the throws. But guess what? The offensive line is not doing anything for them. Their running game is abysmal. Defensively, garbage. But if you guys brought this coach in because of the way that he could run this offense, and offensively they're not doing much. They were held to practically nothing last week, and for them to give away their first round quarterback and go 3-13 last year, and then you're getting the quarterback you want this year, and you're on pace to go 3-13 this year. I'm starting to think it wasn't the quarterback. I'm starting to think it was the coach, and that's why he's in the hot seat.
Well, you know, they had a different coach last year, and I feel like, you know, they got rid of their coach, so, you know, they got rid of the quarterback, too. You bring in a new guy like Kingsbury, and you bring in his quarterback from Oklahoma. They come from the same school. They're ready to pair it together. I think that everyone's looking for the next Sean McVay, a young guy who's brilliant offensively. You know, so I think that they're going to give it some time. They got their guy that they want, as in the coach and quarterback. I think they're going to give them some time to grow. You can't rebuild overnight. You can't. So, you know, if you got the quarterback of the future, sometimes it doesn't work in their favor that they turn it around that fast. So, you know, you have some time. You have to see what's going to happen. I think that Kyler Murray definitely has all the tools that you're looking for in a quarterback in this generation, all the tools to be successful, all the tools to get some W's in Arizona. I think that their coach does have a good mind offensively. He's going to run their air raid offense and get those. They just need pieces. You know, they got to keep building. I think that they had a little bit of a shaky draft this year. I'm putting some pieces around Kyler Murray. I thought there were a lot of other receivers that they could have went to in the draft. But we'll see how Isabella does. We'll see how Keyshawn Johnson does. We'll see how Christian Kirk develops. So we'll see how these...
Christian Kirk has been developing really well.
Yeah, so we'll see how they, you know...
He's been a good fantasy performer this year.
He's been fairly decent. We'll see how those guys produce and progress in the future. But I definitely think that, you know, they're going to give him some time in Arizona to grow. But as we break third down and get ready for fourth down, go get a snack. Go do what you do. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. Fourth down. Top five games of the week. You know we do this every week. It's time to pick them. Number one, we got the Browns and the Ravens. Another big game for the Browns coming up. The pressure is on. You need to start winning games. You're now 1-2. You got to show up. You got to show up. You're against good competition this week. You got the Ravens, and they just lost the game, so they're definitely, you know, trying to make it two in a row. So, you know, the Browns really got to step it up. They're going up against a good team, and, you know, they really got to show what the off-season acquisitions can do for them. They got to figure it out.
No, for sure. I think you're 100% right on that. This is going to be the ultimate test for the Browns. You're going against one of the best pass-rushing defenses in the league, if not the best pass-rushing defense in the league. The way the Browns have been playing the last couple weeks, Baker Mayfield looks timid. And I'm not going to lie, Rex Ryan, you know, was saying that Baker Mayfield was overhyped. The way that he's been playing right now, he has every right to say that, and is being proven true. The only way that he can debunk that myth is to give us the show that he's been producing the last year. Don't come into this game thinking that you're gonna come in and you're gonna be the guy. You have to prove that you're that guy. You have the weapons. Make it work. And I also think that it also has to do with Freddie Kitchens. The play calling has been abysmal. You have a running back that can move the ball. You have two wide receivers that are A1 anywhere in the league. And depending on Njoku, if he comes back this week, you also have a top tier tight end. Even the backup tight ends last week in that game did pretty decent. But Baker Mayfield needs to be able to make those throws and those reads effectively. He's been looking a little slow here and there, making those reads, and he's not getting the ball out quickly. He's looking to make those extended plays like he does, but it's not going to work, especially with the type of receivers that you have. They don't have that much time to get open. We have to get it in the slot where they can make those catches immediately. We're not trying to wait. We're not trying to extend plays unless it needs to get there. Also, the Ravens. They got a lot to prove coming off of last week's loss. It was a close game, but I think they're going to be coming back this week with some heat under their butts. They want to win. They want to keep, you know, doing that.
I know they lost last week, and I know that, you know, they might have been down, but, you know, it was an early test for them.
Oh, no,
they're still a young team.
Yeah.
They're still very good. I still think that, you know, they're going to be fine in the long run.
Oh, they're definitely going to the playoffs.
I think that, yeah, I don't think that's in question. I think that this game is definitely for them a morale booster. They're going up against a team with a lot of hype surrounding them.
Mm-hmm.
They're going up against a team that has a lot of talent. So, you know, for them, two back-to-back weeks of going against talented teams, for them to go out 1-1, I think that's okay. So, you know, this is definitely a game that they're going to want to win. I think they do come out on top and win this. I have the Ravens on top, 31-17, over the Browns. I think the Browns go to 1-3, and I think that, you know, some people start asking questions about the team and in the future and how this season is going to go. And I have the Ravens on top.
You said you got the Ravens on top? I think that the Ravens will be on top. I think that the Ravens, the score, I think you're right. To be honest, it might be a blowout. I think the Browns are going to be, 14-38.
Wow.
Yeah, big blowout there. I'm not even giving them no hope, especially with the way they played last week. I think the Ravens are going to come out and smack them up.
Yeah, Mark Ingram has been playing lights out. The offense, you know, I think Hollywood Brown has a better game than he had last week. He had a bunch of targets. He just didn't capitalize. And, you know, the same for Mark Andrews. So I definitely think the next game of the week, Cowboys and Saints.
Let's go.
Cowboys haven't been challenged yet.
Not yet.
They, you know, playing they're 3-0. They played, they played Washington. They played the Giants. They played Miami. Now is the time that they're going to get some real competition.
Yep.
Teddy Bridgewater and those guys, they played well going into Seattle last week. It was a bit of a thriller. They put some points on the board. I told you, you know, all that BS about, you know, Sean Payton using two quarterbacks, and, you know, Teddy Bridgewater looked comfortable. He was a little bit, and he had more rhythm than the week before. So, you know, I think that they're going to, you know, they're going to really challenge that Cowboys secondary and that Cowboys defense. Now, I still stand by the Cowboys. I still think that they're the best team in the NFC. I think that, you know that they're going to have better competition this week, and they're going to step up. The only issue I have with the Cowboys is they allow too many points from weak teams. You know, so they have to put, you know, their best foot forward in this case and you know, and man up on defense and limit the Saints from scoring. Alvin Kamara is going to be a handful. So is Michael Thomas. So, you know, you got to get it together defensively. I still have the Cowboys winning this game. I think this is going to be a thriller, and I think the Cowboys take this 34-31.
Well, I'm going to have to disagree with you on that because I don't think that the Cowboys are going to win this one for one reason and one reason only. Their secondary is weak. The secondary has been given up plays, especially the deep balls. With the Saints coming in and the threat that they have on the receiver side of the ball,
The Saints aren't going to be throwing the ball deep that much. It's not with Drew Brees.
You're right.
It's with Teddy Bridgewater so it's going to be a little different.
But I think that Teddy Bridgewater is shaking off the cobwebs, and he's going to get comfortable. And if that proves to be true, I do think that the Saints come out on top. Kamara is not going anywhere. His production has not slipped a little bit. So I don't think offensively is going to be the test. I think it's going to be the test of both defenses to see if they can stop. And I got the Saints coming out on top, 28-24.
Okay. Let's go ahead and dive into game three. Hot seat guys, the Giants and the Skins. Now, when I came up with the list and when we came up and we were talking about the games, I was like, dang, I was thinking to myself, yo, we have the Giants on here again for another big game. But in reality, they have been playing in big games all season, meaningful games. You look at last week, that was a meaningful game for their franchise and for the league as a whole is part of this young quarterback group that's, you know, going forward for the future of the NFL. And you look on the other side with the Redskins. It's the same case with them. You know, will they start Dwayne Haskins? Will he play? Will he be productive? How will his career go moving forward? So, you know, this is another big game. Will Jay Gruden still be part of this organization after this game? You know, if the Giants win this game and go 2-2, they're right there with the Eagles and the Cowboys, you know, at top of the division. If the Skins finally win a game and, you know, now that, you know, there's a little bit, you know, more, you know, competition in the division. So, because, you know, anything can happen. If the Cowboys lose, and, you know, it makes the division and the games a little bit tighter. So, you know, this game is a tough division game. You know, it's a lot for both sides. If the Giants win, it gives them momentum moving forward with Daniel Jones without Saquon. You know, if the Skins win and play Dwayne Haskins, they found their guy for the future with the young pieces that they have on offense, and they can move forward. So it's a lot of meaning to it. I do not think the Skins win this. I think the Giants ultimately come on top. They have a lot of momentum. Daniel Jones played well last week. I think he keeps it going. They're 1 week away from getting Golden Tate, so I think that you know, they're developing a nice young core with their young rookie Darius Slayton. So I think the Giants win this one. It's gonna be a little ugly, but I think they win this one 20-14.
Yeah, and I agree with you on that. The score a little bit different, but I have the Giants coming out on top 28-14. This is going to be a real test for the Giants. No Saquon. Your receivers are healthy, but when they're not also 100% complete. No Golden Tate yet. We're going to have to see how Daniel Jones come back from that performance last week, that incredible his first starting performance last week. The Redskins, they got a lot to prove. They got a lot to prove. Their quarterback, Case Keenum, not looking good at all. Should he be starting? In my opinion, no. I think Dwayne Haskins should be starting. Dwayne Haskins versus Daniel Jones would be the title of the week. Two rookies that got something to prove. Dwayne Haskins has been sitting on the bench trying to prove that he should be the starting guy. And you also have Daniel Jones that, you know, won a game last week and still trying to prove that he should have been the guy starting since week one. So we're going to have to see, but I do have the Giants coming out on top on this one. Next game of the week, we got the Bears versus the Vikings. Now, this is one of the top games for me because I think it's going to be a very defensive game on the Bears side, and you have a high-powered offense on the Vikings side. Dalvin Cook has been going off all season, but can they pull it off against the Bears and Khalil Mack? I don't think they will, and I don't think it's going to happen. I see the Bears coming out on top on this one. Not too much of a high-scoring game, 21-14, Bears come out on top.
Yeah, you know, it's the North. It's the North, the best division in football, the toughest division in football. A lot is on the line. The chance to be on top of the division is on the line. You know, so you got to win. You got to win football games. And I think that, you know, the Bears, Khalil Mack, he's the greatest. I think that Dalvin Cook has been phenomenal. I think he's one of the best backs in the league right now. He's really been putting numbers up. But I think defense prevails. The Chicago Bears gets Kirk Cousins right. Kirk hasn't been playing well this season. Kirk Cousins is, you know, he's been mediocre. Well, you know, so I want to see more from him. I expect more from him. I think that he has all the weapons needed to be an efficient quarterback, a solid quarterback. But he, you know, he's just not showing the consistency to me. Well, and I think that that's going to be a weakness.
Let's not forget the week one. They blew out the other team, and he only threw 10 passes. So I think that kind
of played Atlanta.
Yeah,
they played Atlanta. I don't believe in Atlanta yet.
No. Like it's Atlanta, not, it's, one week they look good. The it's next not. It's not. Don't. It's not even about Atlanta itself. I'm just saying that the numbers are kind of distorted because of the performance that they put in week one. Now you put it together with, you know, week two and week three. His numbers look really low because of the way that the offense performed that first week with him not having to pass the ball, and you can't really see consistency. He wasn't throwing the ball as much. So now that we're seeing him throw the ball more, it doesn't look pretty all across the board. But I think he's going to pick it up this week. I think him and Stephon Diggs are going to connect more this week. And let's not forget, they also got a notable pickup. Laquon Treadwell is coming back. He's coming back. They have released him, But Laquon Treadwell, we're going to see what he's able to do this week. I'm pretty sure that they do have him in starting, but we'll have to see if it's going to you know, make them a lot better.
We'll see, and I think that, you know, the Bears come up on top on this one. I got them winning this one 24-17. Mitchell Trubisky, I think he plays well. He connects with those receivers, and they come out on top. And next game, you got your boys. You know, your boys are playing. I already know you're going to pick them. Go ahead and tell me what score you got for the next game, man.
Well, you already know. I got the Chiefs coming out on this easy. It's not even a question. And I have them blowing out the Lions. I got them blowing out the Lions 34-14. I don't think the Lions. I don't think the Lions are going to be able to keep up. Even though they did have, they don't have a loss. They don't have a loss at all. They have that one tie. Does that really make them an undefeated team? Yeah, but it doesn't really make that. It almost counts as a loss as well. But they do have something to prove. That offense is picking up steam. Defensively, they're looking better. But I don't think they're going to be able to keep up with the high-powered Chiefs offense. The Chiefs have been dealing with adversity since week one offensively, losing players, you know, left and right. The run game has been weak. They haven't signed another running back. LeSean McCoy looked okay. And I think coming off that injury, he's going to be coming out healthier this week and be able to provide them with a better opportunity in the run game. And I don't see the Lions stopping it. I don't see the Lions being able to stop that Chiefs offense.
Well, for one thing, I definitely like the Lions in this one. I think this is going to end up being the Chiefs' first loss this week for two reasons. Reason number one, I think that the defensive front for the Lions have played much better. I think they're starting to get comfortable with each other. They're bringing the pressure. And also offensively, Matt Stafford has been playing phenomenal so far this season. He's been effective. They have a good system with their running backs. Kerryon Johnson has played well. And they're able to score the football. They're able to throw the football, get in the red zone, and they're able to score when they're in the red zone. So I think that last week's performance by the Chiefs secondary will not repeat itself. I think that they came with a game plan. They kind of knew where Lamar Jackson was, his two targets. They kind of bottled up Brown and Andrews, and, you know, they didn't really let him get open. Matthew Stafford is going to get everyone involved, and he's going to find a way to get everyone the football. And I think that, you know, their offense comes alive. I think that Galladay and Jones really get it going. I think their young tight end Hockenson, who's been slumming the first few, last couple of weeks, I think he gets it going. And I think the Lions come out. I think this one's going to be another thriller, man. I think this one's going to be a high-scoring game. And I got the Lions coming out 34-31, and the Chiefs get their first loss of the season.
We're going to have to see about that. I can't wait to watch that game. I did have some notable mentions for this week. One of them was the Bills versus the Pats. I know that the Pats are going to win. I believe the Pats are going to win, especially the way that they've been playing against the Bills.
Garbage.
But
the Bills are garbage.
But,
I don't care if they throw.
Hold on. Before you even get there, let's not forget the last three seasons, what happened to the Patriots against the shittiest teams in the league. The Bills, the Jets, and Miami lost to all three of those teams. So I'm not going to say that the Bills are going to demolish the Patriots. It's not going to happen. But if there's a team that has Brady's number defensively or on a whim, it's been the Bills and those other crappy teams. I don't know how it's been happening the last couple seasons. The Patriots managed to fuck up and lose these games, but
Patriots are going to score 50 points.
I do think that the Patriots will come out on top of this.
They're going to beat them 57-2.
And then
they get is maybe a safety.
My other notable mention for this week, my other notable mention was the Bengals versus Steelers. Now, this was only a notable mention because it's the crappiest game of the week, the shittiest game of the week. It is the 0-3 Bengals versus the 0-3 Steelers. Now, The only reason it even made the notable mention list is because somebody has to win. And if nobody wins and it ends up in a tie, both these teams need to just forfeit the rest of the season. I don't care. Andy Dalton better come up with
Steelers,
something.
The Steelers need to go get a quarterback. Eli Manning.
Mason's not doing well at all.
Go get Eli.
What about Colin Kaepernick? What about Colin Kaepernick? He's younger. His body is more proven. If anybody could
do... They're too, quote-unquote, professional.
No, they're not professional. If they were professional, they would have dealt with the AB situation accordingly. They would have dealt with the Big Ben situation accordingly. They would have dealt with Le'Veon Bell situation accordingly. Now, with all those...
They're too, quote-unquote, professional for Colin Kaepernick.
Okay. Well, anyways, where's one coach that hasn't that we didn't put on the hot seat, and that's Mike Tomlin. We're going to have to see what happens this week.
Yeah, I think Mike Tomlin, I mean, I think he's good, man. He's a good guy. I like him as a coach. If he were to, you know, come to an end, his era in Pittsburgh, I could see him in Washington, man. Mike Tomlin would be a great coach for the Redskins, man. He would come in there and get them guys balling. He would be a good coach in Washington. I also like Mike McCarthy in Washington if you know, he's one of the coaches that, you know, is no longer a coach by the end of the season. But let's go ahead. I know it's a little early. I know the season's still a little young. But early playoff picture. I mean, for the NFC, you know, I right now winning the divisions. I think the Cowboys win their division, the Rams win their division, the Bears win their division. And I told you, I know the season's early. I know they're inconsistent, but they have the opportunity. So for that, I have the Falcons coming out and winning their division.
I have those teams as my top four teams.
Yeah, they're definitely the weakest division to me, I think. And I have those as my top four teams in the Eagles and Packers, you know, in the wild card so far. I mean, I know it's early. Things can change. But so far, these are the guys, I think, in the NFC that, you know, can really shape up the playoff picture right now.
I'm going to agree with you a little bit on that. I do think that the Eagles and the Packers will be in the wild card game. I do see that the Cowboys are going to win the division. That's not even a question, because the Giants haven't proven themselves yet. The Redskins ain't proven themselves yet. Eagles have been shaky. That's not even a question. In the NFC West, the Rams are definitely coming out on top on that one. That's not even a question, unless the 49ers can prove that they are the team to beat. Now, yes, they're 3-0, but we have to see them go against some real competition. The 49ers could be the only team, to be honest, to compete with the Rams. I don't see the Seahawks competing with the Rams this year. And in the NFC South, like you said, I do see the Falcons, but we have to see what the Saints are be able to produce too. The NFC South is up for grabs, and right now the way that it looks, it's kind of, I feel like it's a little too early to make making the playoff calls. Now let's go over to the AFC. Now, who do you think is taking over the AFC? We already know the Pats are coming up on top and winning the whole division. But as far as the wild card, where do you see the wild card game going in?
For the wild card in the AFC, I actually have the Browns as part of a wild card weekend. And I have a sleeper team, the Chargers. The Chargers, I think with Melvin Gordon coming back, I think changes everything for the Chargers. I think Melvin Gordon helps them get over the hump. I think right now in football, Keenan Allen is the best receiver in football. And I think that they have a three-headed monster on offense with Rivers, Allen, and Gordon. If they can keep that group together and healthy, I think that they can sneak into the playoffs and be a scary team. As far as the division winners, definitely the Pats out in the AFC East. I have the Chiefs taking it in the AFC West. The North, Ravens. I don't see any other team challenging them right now. Mm-hmm. I think that the Browns kind of make their way into the playoffs late season.
I mean,
I think that the Browns, I think they get a little bit more discipline.
I think the Browns by default are going to make it into the playoffs because the Bengals and the Steelers are just eliminating themselves all the time. So we can
At this point, I don't see any hope for those two teams. I really, really wanted to put the Texans as the South champions. But I think that the South is going to be so close between the Colts and the Texans that the Colts are building momentum right now. Jacoby Brissett is starting to get comfortable as the starter. I think their weapons are starting to – their running game is definitely starting to pick up. Marlon Mack is starting to do his thing. So I think it's going to be a dogfight in the South between the Colts and the Texans. And I think it's going to come down to whoever bests who in their division games. Mm-hmm. And I think that with the offense complete in Indianapolis, I think they're the more complete team. I really, really, really like the Texans. I think they're a sneaky sleeper team. But I think that the Colts right now just edge them out just a little bit. But, you know, like you said, it's too early to call it a little bit. But, it, you know, that's where I'm kind of going with them in the playoffs with the Colts.
Yeah. For me, the AFC South is going to be really close. I think the Texans are going to come out on top. I like them. I like them. I like them offensively. The will that they have is incredible. Deshaun Watson, he doesn't want to give up at all. I mean, it's his greatest weakness, but it's also one of his greatest strengths. His ability to get up every play, even after getting smacked left and right, to get up and continue to march down the field. And I think they're going to come out on top on the AFC South. Now, the Colts, if they can stay healthy, because right this week, T.Y. Hilton's not going to be playing. That's one of their top guys. So we're going to have to see how they can fare without him. Marlon Mack, like you said, is coming into his own. He also was a little beat up last week. So we're going to have to see how they can move forward. The Jaguars. Now, Gardner Minshew is the story down in Jacksonville. You know, breaking records as a rookie.
He's Uncle Rico.
Uncle Rico. But we have to see how they do this week. If they win this week and they go 2-2, we're going to have to turn it around and put the Jaguars in the conversation. But as far as the wild card for the AFC, I have it the Texans and the Chargers.
Wow. Okay. So you got the Browns winning the division?
No, I got the Browns
not even making the playoffs.
No, I don't have the Browns winning the division. I have the Ravens winning their division. The Browns are going to make the playoffs, by default, because the Bengals and the Steelers are trash, and so are the Jets and the Dolphins are trash. The Jets and Dolphins are 0-3, both of them, and they have a bye week, so we can count them out. So like I was saying, I do think that the Chargers and the Texans are going to be in the wild card. I do think that the Browns do end up making the playoffs by default, and we're going to have to see. Those are my picks.
All right. So we'll quickly go over the top players at their position right now. Let's start with the quarterback, man. I know you've been on Patrick Mahomes all season and since the tail end of last season. I'm going to have to agree with you on that one, man. I think right now him and Lamar Jackson are the top two quarterbacks in the league right now. I don't think, you know, Brady at this moment is playing phenomenal. But he's Tom Brady. When it matters most, he'll step up. I think Aaron Rodgers is second in the league in passing, right behind Patrick Mahomes, only by a couple of yards.
Yeah, they're the only ones that passed 1,000 yards this week.
Yep, only guys. But, you know, I think that with Aaron Rodgers, we'll see with Aaron Rodgers. We'll see how the offense gathers around him. I think that the running game has definitely been struggling. Outside of the 100-yard game that Aaron Jones had in week two, you know, he really has been struggling to get it going on the ground. So I think that, you know, Aaron Rodgers is, yes, he's carrying the team, but I also think that defense is phenomenal and, you know, has helped them get to that 3-1 mark that they're at now. But yeah, I think Mahomes and Jackson are my top guys. I think they're the best two quarterbacks in the league right now.
All right, let's jump over to defense real quick, and I just wanted to point out your guy. You said it before, Shaquille Barrett, leading that Bucks defense with 8 sacks this season, ahead of Myles Garrett. But you know, Myles Garrett has 2 sacks, and Preston Smith only has 4.5 sacks. These guys are leading the way, and I think Shaquille Barrett is one to watch. It's kind of sad that the rest of the defense can't keep up because they've been letting up a lot of points. But Shaquille Barrett is a beast, and he is going to be one to watch for the rest of the season. Defensively, he is my player, and I don't see anyone coming in close contention with him other than Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald has been producing, but unfortunately, his numbers haven't been like they were, you know, last year. His sack numbers aren't up like they were, but he's up there. He's in the top 3 in tackles this season. So we'll have to see how that goes.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. Shaquille Barrett, Preston Smith, Aaron Donald, those guys have been playing phenomenal all season. Preston Smith has been playing lights out in Green Bay. Shaquille Barrett, he was a late, and when I mean late, I mean like tail end right before training camp signing. You know, not a lot of teams went after him or tried to sign him. And he's been playing lights out this season. Aaron Donald, he's phenomenal. You know, after Khalil Mack, I have him number 2. As the best defensive player, I think he's been great. You saw last week against the Browns how well he played. So, you know, I definitely think that those guys have been great on defense. I'll quickly go right back to the offensive side, receivers and running backs. I mean, you look at, you know, Keenan Allen, he's been playing phenomenal all season. Dalvin Cook, he's been playing phenomenal all season. Mm-hmm. Respectively, those guys lead their positions in something, touchdowns, yards. You know, they're really getting the job done on offense. And I'll also slip in Alvin Kamara and OBJ. I know that, you know, the Browns haven't had much success in the win column, but mm-hmm. Odell Beckham has still been producing. You know, it's sort of kind of the same thing when he was in the Giants, not many wins, but his numbers have still been stellar and he's still finding the end zone. So, you know, those are definitely guys that I think our top performers on offense as well.
Yeah, and to switch back over to defense real quick, some of our top performers defensively in the secondary, I wasn't expecting this season. Ha-Ha Clinton Dix with his performance last week. Devin McCourty is definitely in the conversation as well. He's got 3 interceptions this season. And also, sleeper, Desmond Trufant. 2 interceptions already, but their defense is not complete. He can't do it by himself, but we're going to have to
see. Yeah, they got a lot of injuries.
Mm-hmm, a lot of injuries. So we're going to have to see how the secondary across the league picks up. But Ha-Ha Clinton Dix is on a path to destruction right now because he is destroying teams defensively. We'll see how he picks up.
Yeah, he's definitely been playing well. Yeah, he's definitely been playing well in the secondary, and so is Landon Collins, actually. Yes. He's been pretty well. He's been a good acquisition for the Redskins. I mean, I know they've given up a lot of touchdowns over top, but he's definitely been a surefire tackler. He, you know, tight ends have had some success against them, but, you know, that's natural. That's how it's been so far in his career. But he's been playing good. He's their best tackler. He's their number 1 tackler, and he's been playing well, providing blitzes and, you know, getting in the backfield and making tackles for a loss. Also, I said it earlier, you know, the best corner in football, Stephon Gilmore. He's been playing lights out. He's putting guys on seatbelt straps. You can't go nowhere. You know, I think he's the best corner right now. He's been dominant, and he's definitely been doing a good job. You know, and that's definitely, I think, you know, a good, well-rounded group of the guys who I think, you know, are really succeeding right now and playing at a high level in the NFL. And as we come to a close and break down 4th down, you know, thanks again. You know, you guys keep listening. We'll keep making them. You know, I can't stress that enough. You know, keep the questions coming. Keep the requests coming. You can find us on Twitter. You can find us on Instagram, Spotify, Apple, Anchor, you know, so give us a listen. Let us know your thoughts. Keep tuning in.
Yeah, we appreciate everything that you guys have brought to our attention as far as, you know, going forward with the podcast. We take that into accountability, and we're trying to make it better every day. Yes? And we're trying our hardest to give you guys the best show possible. So continue to help us, support us, go to our page, donate if you can. And we're gonna make sure that we give you the best quality that we can. And we can't wait to see you guys next week. All right, we're out.